It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
If I had long hair, I'd be pulling it out right now. Oh my goodness, Saturday night, and it's all screwed up. Oh my God, so far I'm perfect tonight. Everything is going wrong. First of all, it's not the sit down. It's the Don Tony show. The sit down is tomorrow night. Second thing is, I did not realize all day long I had the show set up to start at 10.05 p.m. tonight instead of 8.05 p.m. So a bunch of our regulars who tune in live think the show is starting at 10 o'clock tonight when in actuality it's starting now. Hectic day. Anybody that follows me on Twitter knows I've been out for the last couple of hours. I literally just got in about 15 minutes ago. I made coffee, changed my shirt, and we're here. So the audience live is probably going to be smaller than usual because everybody thinks we're starting at 10. I prefer to have one set time for every show. But on the weekends, it is much easier to start at 8 o'clock rather than 10 o'clock. So I got to keep reminding myself, during the week it's 10 o'clock, on the weekends it's 8 o'clock. So, first of all, this is brown coffee. I actually started drinking the drip method, you know, the pour over method. Never had coffee like that before, but I had a few people telling me, like, did you ever try the pour over method? And I'm like, no. And they're like, you got to make your water at 205 degrees, and then you get one of these pour over filters, which is almost like a coffee filter. And you put the coffee in it, you lay it on top of the mug, and then you pour a little bit of water and let that sit for about 30 seconds. Let the aroma of the beans, and by the way, it's always better to grind your own beans. Do not use ground. Ground is okay, but when you grind the beans, the oils come out, and you get this giant burst of flavor that you normally don't get on ground coffee. So I literally, I'm not kidding, I don't know if you could see it, but my fingers were grinding and grinding and grinding right before we went live, and I made myself some drip blend. It's not too bad. Pistachio flavor, I might add. So, you know, I guess we started a minute or two late. Give everybody a few moments to stop in. And my apologies to everyone who's going to see this after the show is over, and they're going to be like, I thought it was starting at 10 o'clock. Yeah, totally screwed up today. So I want to shout out our newest members of the Elite family, Bob the Builder, Garcia Kane, Gracia Casanabo. Welcome, my friends. I also want to shout out our newest channel members, Tuxedo Earth, Omar Salgado, Soulfly Biamore, Gamers Block, Derek Murchison, MTRZ Gaming. Actually, they're all members of the Elite family. Jay Flores, $24.99. Bob the Builder, Scorpio 1117, none more brown than him. Mike from New York, and Les Davis Jr. So welcome, and I hope everybody enjoyed Thursday's Q&A episode. Interesting to do it amongst channel members, a very, very intimate audience, but we put on a banger of an episode, and we got a lot of things to talk about tonight, so let's get right into it. Now, I know some of you out there were writing publicly and privately saying to me, DT, why are you saying that Jon Moxley is back? Well, first of all, you haven't paid attention to my shows the last 2 weeks, because 2 weeks ago I said that Jon Moxley is very close to returning. And if you remember my little remark, don't be surprised if John Moxley returns and his first match back is not for AEW. And that triggered, when we said that 2 weeks ago, that triggered a few people. Oh, how could you say that after, you know, that they're family and this and that? No. Fact of the matter is, John Moxley is the GCW heavyweight champion. John Moxley has been out, obviously, with rehab, and we have heard nothing but positive with his rehab. And he is relaxed. He is rested. He has recovered physically and mentally. The mental part is just as important. And GCW made the announcement yesterday that on January 23rd, which is only 8 days from now, John Moxley will be defending the GCW Heavyweight Championship against Homicide. So, awesome news. Awesome news. I know a lot of you out there have been very, very concerned for John Moxley. You know, having an addiction issue is no joke. An addiction could come in many, many forms. It's not always drugs and alcohol. People get food addictions. They get relationship addictions, addictions to porn, addictions to shopping. I mean, obviously, you know, everything is handled differently, but still, addiction is still addiction. You know, I've made it no secret. You know, my body is without question addicted to painkillers because of my car accident from 1996. But I don't abuse them because the last thing I want to do is find out that my kidneys no longer work and I'm fucked. So addiction is no joke. So anyway, Ricky Vasquez and everyone else out there asking about Tammy on the replay, when I go like this, you will see a link for a clip from Thursday's Q&A episode. I spent about 10 to 12 minutes talking about Tammy Sitch's arrest, got into some details that were not said on TMZ, got into a couple of other things. Now, I want to give you a little update regarding Tammy because, you know, realistically, I think that there's a good chance that the charges may end up being dropped. But I want to explain a couple of things very quickly. You know, this relationship, for those out there that's never been in a toxic relationship, or if you don't know anyone that has ever had a toxic relationship, there's a reason why they call it toxic. It is much worse than just a bad breakup. People can have a bad breakup, fighting, yelling, cursing out, you know, not speaking terms. You could break things, throw things out. You know, it could be a bad breakup. When it gets toxic, that's when you just do like just outrageous things. And it's almost like you don't have control of yourself. She is in a toxic relationship. I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but I'm going to say it because you know me. I always tell you straight out whether people like it or not. This guy is no prize. Okay. This guy is no angel. All right. Does not justify ever what Tammy said to the guy. The fact that this guy called the cops, you know, guy legitimately thought that she could do what she said she was going to do. You ever see the movie Fatal Attraction? I'm not saying that it's going to get to that point, but toxic is toxic. There's no other way to put it. But a couple of things that I wanted to tell you about this. First of all, when I said 10 years on Thursday's episode, a lot of you out there said to me, oh, DT, no. TMZ said 5 years. Why are you saying 10? Well, I wrote it in the description of the clip that I put up yesterday on YouTube. New Jersey issued a state of emergency a week or so ago because of Omicron. And when you commit a crime, it could be elevated to a higher charge because you did it during a state of emergency. And that is what has happened with Cammy on the terroristic threats charge. It looks like, now again, TMZ has not reported it, but I told you, I know people personally, and I've done my research, and it does appear, and it's almost guaranteed that they are going to upgrade that charge to a second degree, which means $100,000, up to $100,000 fine, and up to 10 years in prison, not five. So that's why I said that on Thursday. The second thing is, when I said on Thursday that no drugs and alcohol were involved, I'm talking about, you know, the situation with vehicular. You know, she's had issues of driving under the influence. I mean, how many of you were talking about the DUIs yesterday, even though it had nothing to do with the issue at hand? She did not get arrested for anything related to drugs or alcohol. If she had a couple of cocktails and she wasn't behind the wheel, well, guess what? Even if you have a criminal record, you are allowed to drink. All right. But the point is, right now she's in some serious shit. The earliest that she'll be able to see a judge is likely Tuesday because of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. So she could be out on Tuesday. Now, another thing is, this is something that I've talked to you personally about before, and then we'll move on. You know, what you got to understand, and some of you out there, if you've never threatened the life of another person, okay, what you need to understand is that there's a lot of states that if you threaten the life of someone, even if you straighten things out with the other person, or the other person says, no, I don't want to, that person calls the police and says, I was threatened, especially if you do it over a telephone, police have to arrest you. They don't change their mind. The person who called the police cannot tell the police, no, forget about it. Now, I'm not saying every state is like that, but a lot of states, you call the police and say that somebody threatened to kill you, especially if it's a relationship, police will force you to turn yourself in or they will arrest you. You know, and then obviously you have to go through the court proceedings. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But even if this guy decides he wants to drop the charges, the court could still have some issues because she did this during a pandemic. So it's very, very complicated right now. You know, I thought about this, you know, getting an order. He should get an order of protection. I don't know what that's really going to do, to be honest with you. So, again, I hope that she gets some type of help. You know, I'm not her, you know, counselor. I'm not her doctor or psychiatrist. But, you know, this sounds an awful lot like a depression issue and some other issues going on. And she, you know, having an intervention might not even be enough. So, all right. We got to send our condolences to Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss. For those that don't know, Sasha Banks' father passed away either yesterday or today. And literally moments before the show went live, I got a few DMs. Hey, DT, Alexa Bliss's grandmother passed away. So, you know, on behalf of everybody here, you know, we obviously send our condolences to both families. Let me tell you something. Losing my grandmother was devastating for me at the time. And thank God I still have both my parents, but you know how close I am with them. And, you know, the thought of losing a parent, that's rough, man. So, you know, my condolences are with both of them. So, all right. Congratulations to Samantha Irvin. You know Samantha Irvin. You know, she was doing the announcing for NXT and doing an awesome job at it. For those that may not have tuned into SmackDown, she is now the announcer for SmackDown. Remember, Greg Hamilton was released back in November, and Mike Rome has been doing the duties. So will she also do Raw? I'm not so sure, But congrats. I love her announcing. I mean, look, I know everybody thinks about William Regal when somebody says the term War Games. But I tell you, you know, she's pretty freaking good, too. She's got that real stern voice. I like her work, man. I like her work. So congrats go to Samantha Irvin. Yesterday we had SmackDown. Yesterday we had Rampage. And I will definitely be getting into both. You know, I just realized I have to load something here. I'm telling you, things were so freaking hectic tonight. You have no idea. I mean, I was wondering why nobody was hanging out in the chat room like minutes before the show. And I just look over on my screen and it says show starting in 115 minutes. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So I fixed it. All right. Ken terminated by DQ. Thank you for the super chat, my friend, the 5 spot. Seeing Tammy getting arrested 10 times within a year is like seeing Austin Nance getting dumped by 6 of his 10 girlfriends. Hey man. I wouldn't put getting dumped by a girlfriend in the same seriousness as being arrested. But you know what? They're the ones that lost out on Austin, and you know, one day he'll find the right person. big shout out to everybody who's live. I loved the vibe in the chat room. That was something that a lot of you know I was so concerned about when we first came to YouTube. That people were warning me, oh, the trolling, the toxicity. And, you know, it made me very concerned. And that was something that I vowed would not happen on these shows. We're not going to have a shit fest in our chat rooms. We're not going to have a shit fest. I saw people today and podcasters that I respect, and they're writing, wrestling is an all-time low. It sucks to be a wrestling fan. Right now, wrestling is so boring. Wrestling sucks. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Impact Wrestling, to their credit, has upped it up, turned it up a notch. MLW is pretty good. NWA is starting to, you know, regain some momentum. AEW is doing a fabulous job. We're about to get the Royal Rumble, Saudi Arabia, and the road to WrestleMania. We got all the indie promotions out there that you could see on Fight. I'm starting to get into GCW. I mean, you know who are the people that say that online? The people that only follow two promotions, WWE and AEW. They'll claim that they watch everything else until they expose themselves. And I don't mean expose in a physical way. And I always brought up the examples. I'm sorry for using it again. Lars. I'll never forget when Lars debuted on the main roster for WWE, and I saw a bunch of people that claim they watch NXT religiously every week. Wow, you know, he's got pretty good moves. You know, that move off the top rope. Wow, yeah, I'm impressed. The guy can move around. And like, I'm watching him every week on NXT. What are you talking about? I mean, it was in some high-profile matches. Unbelievable. So, I had a little laugh yesterday, and this is something that really sucks about today. And I've talked about this before. There is a large group of people out there that just want everything to be cake and ice cream. That just want everything to be beautiful and just, you know, fuck the truth. If it feels good and I get that warm feeling inside, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And you got WWE with revisionist history. We talked about it not too long ago. You got, with all due respect, Trish Stratus, Lita, WWE, tens of thousands of wrestling fans, wrestlers in the business, all celebrating the anniversary of the first ever women's main event on Raw. Trish versus Lita. Flat out lie. First women's main event ever on Raw was Stephanie McMahon versus Lita. And I know people have tried to come up with explanations for it, and this, this, and that. You know, just because the match sucked doesn't mean it's not a part of history. So, revisionist history. And what was ridiculous about it is people out there, like me and others, were saying, look, what are you talking about, everyone? That's not true. And people just didn't care about the truth. They just wanted that gushy feeling, and it happened again yesterday. I am happy Leader is back. What happened yesterday does not change the fact that I am really, really happy that Leader is back. Now, I know I saw the reports that AEW was interested in bringing her in. Why wouldn't they? If she could still do it, you think of Edge, you think of Christian recently, Lita, you know, she's not that old. You see Mickie James still killing it and some others. If AEW was interested in bringing her in, sure. Now, I know people today were like, oh, well, WWE brought her in for the Royal Rumble so AEW wouldn't get her. I ask you a question. How's about Lita chose to go back to WWE instead of signing with AEW? Why is it that, WWE, now they're interested in Lita, that they probably wouldn't even put her in the Royal Rumble if AEW wasn't interested? Well, how's about fucking nobody held Lita, nobody forced Lita's hand and say, sign this. She ain't a puppet. She's the one that chose to go and do work with WWE again. As she said yesterday, she is home. So this was Lita's decision. Period. But once again, with the revisionist history, and this one to me is a gem. This is a gem. During SmackDown yesterday, Charlotte has a little confrontation in the ring with Lita. And Lita is talking about how it's great to be back home, that she feels that she's got one last run in her. She wants to win the Royal Rumble. She wants to take on Charlotte at WrestleMania and this and that. And all that's fine. But Lita also said yesterday, and I wrote the words down, and she said that, here, she said that she never had the chance to work a Royal Rumble during her career. She never had a chance to work a Royal Rumble in her career. She never had a chance. Should I say it five times? Five times. Is this photoshopped? For those on audio only, this is a picture of Lita in the Royal Rumble 2018, doing moonsaults, eliminating Mandy Rose and Tamina. That don't count. If we play in semantics here, well, when I mean career, I mean like full-time. Well, what the fuck is this now? Full-time? Are we going to see Lita every single week from now on to WrestleMania? I don't think so. So with all due respect, seriously, I know, you know, WWE is not proud of everything during the Attitude Era. I know WWE wants all of their history to be all gushy-gushy, you know, but come on, man. You know, this is over and over. Soon, they're going to announce that Trish Stratus or Lita is the one that gave birth to Jesus Christ thousands of years ago. I mean, they're going to be responsible for everything. They're the ones that created the women's revolution. I mean, stop. We love the fact that Lita is back. It's awesome that she has recovered enough that she can actually do it. I hope that she can do it. I have no problem if she ended up going to WrestleMania and having a high-profile match. But stop bullshitting and adding all this extra nonsense because you got to make it extra fucking special. Lying to the fans, there's no fans that by saying it yesterday, well, Lita's not. Wasn't 2018 the first ever Women's Royal Rumble? That's fucking history. That is history. She was in the first Women's Royal Rumble. And we're supposed to just like, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Unbelievable. Shout out to Neff. Neff. Newest member of the Elite family, Neff. Much love. Thank you for signing up, my friend. Benjamin's like recovered from what? I'll let the chat room answer you. So Lita, you know, a little revisionist history yesterday, but that's a gem. That is a freaking gem. Never been in a Royal Rumble during her career. All right. Before we go over SmackDown a little bit, a little Rampage, you know, I didn't put this in the titles. I don't want this to sound like, you know, I'm trying to make a lot of attention about it, because it's not. All right. Remember, I posted on the synopsis that this week we had a wrestler appear on both Raw and on AEW TV. And it's really true. And no, it's not Jon Moxley, because Moxley was not shown on AEW. Yeah, I would be pretty cheesy. If Moxley's still part of the AEW intro, which I'm not sure if he is, but I can imagine some douchebag this, you know, from yesterday to today saying, oh, AEW superstar featured on WWE and AEW television this weekend. Basically, it's Moxley in a video package yesterday on SmackDown and the intro for AEW Dynamite. That would be cheesy. But I'll just share this with you for anybody that wants to check it out. Do you remember on Monday Night Raw, we had Omos take on a wrestler by the name of Nick Sanders and squashed him like a grape? Well, yesterday on Rampage, we saw a music video by the Acclaimed. And if you look at this music video, yeah, the guy with a hat, you can't really see it, but it looked like he had a sledgehammer and what was he trying to break? An exit sign? Yeah, that's the same guy. That's the same guy. So the same one who got squashed by Omos was in the Acclaimed's music video. So not a big deal. It's not a headline thing. That's the reason why I just put it in the middle. So I thought the music video was great. I thought that shit was a lot of fun. The Acclaimed are so talented, man. Seriously. They, it still baffles me that the way they handled still the Max Caster situation from back then, because as weeks go by, you start to know, realize more and more AEW is just like any other wrestling promotion out there. There's no higher than thou. Everybody is, you know, altar boys and altar girls there. And, you know, everything is, all right. Anyway, couple other news tidbits before we go over both shows from yesterday. This is legit. WWE, if you remember Thursday, I talked about how Saudi Arabia is not very receptive. I think that's the right way to put it. They're not very receptive of having a women's Elimination Chamber match. And it's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off in Saudi Arabia. Because remember, Saudi Arabia is in February. Saudi Arabia is replacing the U.S. pay-per-view Elimination Chamber. And we talked about WWE bringing the Elimination Chamber to Saudi Arabia. But Saudi Arabia is not very receptive of having the women fight in Elimination Chamber. Now, that could still happen. It would be a very watered down match. See, that's the thing. I mean, you don't usually see a lot of blood. You know, if you remember Edge versus Seth Rollins in Saudi Arabia, I mean, the war that they had and lots of weapons and everything, Saudi Arabia was fine with that. But when it comes to women using weapons and stuff like that, they're not as receptive. So it's still unknown if they're going to have an Elimination Chamber match for the women in Saudi Arabia. But WWE is considering changing the name. Remember when I said that when it comes to Saudi Arabia, they have to, you know, try to sell everything? I mean, WWE's got to be the ultimate salesman there. You know, oh, Prince, what if we do the queen, And here's a list of women that could perform in Saudi Arabia. You choose who will be queen. Oh, Zarina. So it's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off. Now, someone just sent me a super chat. I didn't see who it was, but it had to do with Brock Lesnar. Right, Baker? Much love, my friend. Thank you for the super chat, the five spot. If not Brock Lesnar, who do I think will win the Royal Rumble? Well, I'm going to answer that in two different parts. Number one, there's a little buzz going around that Brock Lesnar may in fact lose the WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble and then win the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia, and that would get you Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. That is the buzz going on right now. You haven't read it anywhere else. You know, as I always say on social media, you know, I don't tweet all my shit every single day. You know, I'd rather tell you on the shows and leave it here because all of you out there, and it's not kissing ass, you're the only ones that I give a shit about. I don't give a shit about the masses. If I did, I would just write for a website, put all the stuff on paper and get Twitter verified. Put my news references. That's how a lot of people are getting verified right now. They're all writing bullshit. I think Roman Reigns is the WWE Wrestler of the Year. And look at everything he's done. And you know, I think, and then you read it, and it's like, Captain fucking Obvious. No shit. And then that's how they get verified. That's how it's working right now. Whenever you see, like, Forbes or Sports Illustrated or Sports Keto or all these other places, click on the profile behind the name who's writing some of this stuff. And then you realize some of them still have training wheels on their bicycles. So right now, Brock Lesnar, there's a lot of buzz that he will be in the Elimination Chamber match and he's going to win it. So now if Brock Lesnar is going to be in the Chamber match and he's going to win it, then what happens with the Royal Rumble match? Remember, as of now, other than Charlotte, no champion is in the Royal Rumble. As far as Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins is not in the Royal Rumble. Remember Seth Rollins' promo earlier this week. You know, the Royal Rumble's enticing, but, you know, the match itself, but, you know, he wants Roman Reigns. So if Brock Lesnar loses that championship at the Royal Rumble to Bobby Lashley, and this is where I answer Rye Baker's question. The odds-on favorite to win the men's Royal Rumble is Big E. Then it would be Big E versus Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. And then you would have Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. If that is the scenario, I'm fine with it. I'm absolutely fine with it. Brock Lesnar losing to Bobby Lashley, maybe he gets screwed over because of Roman Reigns. Maybe he gets screwed over because of the Usos. Maybe Paul Heyman screws him over. But look at the storyline with Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. I don't know who you are. I didn't know who you were until you showed up at day one. So Brock Lesnar in storyline is acting, this guy's nothing. So Bobby Lashley winning the championship versus Brock Lesnar would be a major, major item on his resume for his Hall of Fame career. Bobby Lashley will be a Hall of Famer down the line. So that is where this may be going. Now, it's going to be interesting, as we talked about on Thursday as well. And, you know, again, and let me also remind everyone, if you didn't see it already, the Thursday show now is for our channel members live. The video is for the channel members. But if you want to check out the audio version of Thursday show, it's on my website, dontony.com. Everybody, every single one of you could access it. So you could check out Thursday show. I put all the timestamps up there. You could hear it, especially the stuff about Ronda Rousey. If Ronda Rousey enters the Royal Rumble, she will end up being the odds-on favorite to win it. And you may end up getting Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte. But I personally think Bianca Belair is going to win the Royal Rumble. unless they do a certain match in Saudi Arabia that determines Becky Lynch's opponent. If Ronda Rousey wins and calls out Charlotte Flair, then a match has to take a place in Saudi Arabia for Bianca Belair to win. So just remember that scenario, because as the next week or two fall into place, you're going to see it become clearer and clearer if that's the way it's going to go. And I tell you, if you look at it like that, it all falls into place really nicely. It really does fall into place quite nice. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So WWE considering renaming it the WrestleMania Chamber is just to, for the Crown Prince, the selling point. What if we change the Elimination Chamber? Now the person who wins, it's the WrestleMania Chamber. We're having the WrestleMania Chamber in Saudi Arabia. I'm listening. I like that. It's all about selling points, everyone. It's all about selling points. Now, I will let everybody know, I did see the quote that was posted, I think, in the Toronto Sun today, some paper in Canada, WWE statement about Blood and Guts and the women's bloody matches in AEW. Mish and I will talk about that on Monday. So I'm going to digest it, think about it, and then Mish and I will have an interesting conversation Monday about that. So I'm just checking out everybody in the chat room to see what's going on. So let's talk a little bit about SmackDown last night. Look, I know not everything in WWE is all that great. And I know there's a lot of stuff that we could do without. The Madcap Moss, Corbin stuff, it's not even annoying entertainment. It's just awful. It's awful. Corbin, this is the funny thing about it. I praised Corbin for a little period of time. He got better in the ring, more confident, telling a story, you know, very smooth. And I thought, you know what? Okay, if he gets a title, all right. I think, you know, it may be believable. The way I feel about Corbin right now with the stuff with Moss and all this comedy shit they're doing, I have the same feeling now that I did when he was feeding Roman Reigns dog food. WWE, if it's even possible, I don't know how you could take that many steps back with Corbin. They were doing the happy Corbin thing, and he started winning, started getting some money back, and the crowd was actually into it. And WWE just decided, like, no. He's got to be an asshole. Maybe because a lot of people think he's an asshole in real life, that's he's more comfortable at continuing to be an asshole. I don't know. But not everything in WWE is bad. You think of Bobby Lashley and Lesnar, price of admission by itself. You think of Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Come on. Especially the way things are going. And by the way, for a few people that were, you know, writing these books telling me, like, oh, how could you say Seth Rollins is not a babyface and this and that? Have you been paying attention? This is the slow burn to make Seth Rollins a little bit more as a babyface. The crowd is into Seth Rollins. The guy is willing to work both shows. He's getting paid very well for it. The guy is working his ass off to entertain us. That's an admirable thing. So to try to play off to me that he's still a chicken shit heel, what babanya are you smoking? Send me some. But before we get into the actual match results, a couple of the Super Chat questions came in. Philip Maffey, do I think Bray Wyatt could return to the Royal Rumble as a surprise, or is that too soon? My honest opinion, I think you have a better chance of seeing Braun Strowman in the Royal Rumble or someone else than Bray Wyatt. The thing with Bray Wyatt is he's going to be doing film. That's not changing. WWE is not going to write a special contract just for Wyndham and then allow him to do these other things, unless they're going to use him only as a special attraction. So WWE is not going to change the way they run business to please one person. Then they have to run the risk of it being a chain reaction and everybody else, you know, I want that. Oh, why can't I have this? Or what? They're not going to change it. If you look at Zelina when she came back, you know, where's the Twitch stuff? Where's everything else? They're not changing the way they do business. And I don't want to talk about it today about the remark WWE made about the blood stuff and everything, but I will say this. You see social media today. Everybody's on their high horse trying to talk down to everybody like, oh, what about this, WWE? Oh, do you remember when you did this? Oh, but you said this. It's that. WWE is answering to their investors. If their investors are pleased of it being PG entertainment and not having much hardcore blood and guts with women bleeding, that's who WWE is going to answer to more than anybody else. So, you know, all these people could talk and have all these emotional statements and everything, but take note how they always ignore the financial investors. They always ignore the billionaires that have crazy money invested in WWE as if that doesn't matter. So when you read a lot of this stuff online, when you see them omit the biggest part of this. So Bray Wyatt, no. Bray Wyatt, there's so much buzz around him. You don't bring him back just for a Royal Rumble and then he disappears again. That would not make WWE would not want Bray Wyatt's name put back in the sentence regarding today's product unless he was going to be there to stay. And not for nothing, Bray has contracts outside of wrestling. I don't think Bray Wyatt can break those contracts. So no, I don't think Bray Wyatt in a Royal Rumble is a possibility. I mean, I'd love it. Don't get me wrong, I'd love it, but I don't see it as a possibility. Bob the Builder, shout out to you, my friend. What do I think WWE is going to do with Io Shirai and Dakota Kai? I think Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez may team up again. Believe it or not, they may team up again. You know, the women's tag team division in NXT is not very strong. And yes, it's developmental, but they still need to have, you know, some established women there. Io Shirai, I think, is going to end up in the Women's Royal Rumble. I personally think you may see Raquel and Dakota Kai in the Women's Royal Rumble too. So, you know, look, Asuka, her return is imminent. Bayley, you know, I don't have her tweet in front of me. We were going to joke about that on Monday. But, you know, I think it was Meltzer that said that Bayley's not going to return till March. And she wrote a very derogatory response, basically saying, yeah, you don't know. You don't know what's going on. So I'm still sticking that I think Bayley will be in the Royal Rumble. I think Bayley will replace Sasha Banks for the time being because they are in need of that one big name character on SmackDown since Sasha is out. I think Bayley, and look at it like this, and people need to remember this too when it comes to Bayley. Even if Bayley is not exactly back where she could wrestle full-blown matches, she goes in the Royal Rumble, does a little bit, gets eliminated. You know, next week she, or SmackDown, the following SmackDown, she could cut a promo, have a promo exchange with someone. Then that could lead to the, so next thing you know, she doesn't wrestle for 2-3 extra weeks, but she's featured on TV. Today, I think, is the one-year anniversary of the Ding Dong segments. She could bring back Ding Dong Hello. So she could be in the Royal Rumble, and then WWE can milk a couple of weeks where she doesn't wrestle. So that is possible. It is possible. But, yeah, I like your idea about Io Shirai. I think she should be in the Royal Rumble. Dakota Kai, I don't know if that would really make a difference. Nothing against her. But, you know, if they put her in the Royal Rumble, how many people get about, oh, you know, she's got a viable chance. You don't want to just put people in it just to fill numbers. Unless it's somebody that you miss. Somebody that you just want to see get revenge on someone else. You don't want to just throw someone in there just to throw them in there. That's why you see Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley, them doing away what they're doing right now. If you look at everybody in the Royal Rumble, they're trying to make it where there's somebody in the Rumble that they have big issues with. you know, other than seeing some names that we haven't seen in a while. And by the way, I took this from Sports Keto. I got to share this with you. The gift that keeps on giving. This is, no, you know what? Let's leave it like this. This is Nikki Bella talking about the Royal Rumble. Now, for everyone out there that feels the way I do about Nikki Bella, nothing personal, but Nikki Bella, send me whatever babanya that you're smoking. Quote, I would kinda like to be the first ever winner of the Royal Rumble to kind of give the middle finger to both champions and go, I want the tag titles. Like, how badass would that be? Yeah, no thank you. You got the main event spot against Ronda Rousey, and that was one of the biggest wet farts in women's evolution. That is a big wet fart. No thank you. No thank you. Too bad nobody on the women's division does the Cactus Clothesline. Remember the Cactus Clothesline? I would pay $60 just to see some woman eliminate the Bellas, like the Cactus Clothesline. Throw them over the top rope, flip over. Don't hurt them, obviously. Ms. Bella, you're not winning nothing. Just being honest. Hell no. Ain't happening. Uh-uh. So let's get into SmackDown a little bit. Tag team division. It's got some major problems right now. They've had problems for a while. This is what happens when you spend so much time on the Usos and the New Day. The New Day and the Usos. Usos and the New Day. I don't complain about their work. They work great together. And we talked about that many times before. But what have you done with the tag team division in the meantime? You have the Viking Raiders lose this week, win this week. Lose the next week, win this. Lose this, lose this. We've been talking about the Viking Raiders are so misused to the point where they may be damaged goods. And we're supposed to buy in the Viking Raiders versus the Usos at what? The Royal Rumble? Are you kidding me? Who the hell wants to see that? So basically yesterday we had a match with Los Lotharios, Cesaro and Mansoor, Jinder Mahal and Shanky, and the Viking Raiders. Winners ultimately take on the Usos. That match was not bad, but you see how damaged that tag team division has become. And that's why they keep going back to the New Day. Now, Xavier, I mean, nobody wants to see him out, but he's got a leg injury, a calf injury. We talked about it on Thursday. He's out of the Royal Rumble. He's probably going to be off of Saudi Arabia as well. So even if they wanted to do it, they can't. And my God, what they did to Kofi yesterday on SmackDown, Kofi Kingston takes on Madcap Moss. And I'm only pulling it up just for the time of the match. Madcap Moss beat Kofi. Where's the time? 5 minutes, 2 seconds. I mean, look, I'm not saying that Madcap Moss is garbage. He's got some ability. He's got a great physique, which WWE loves. But you got Kofi losing to this guy in 5 minutes. I mean, that just shows you that outside of what they were doing with the Usos, they had nothing. They had nothing for these guys. Now, think about this. Think about this. You might remember we talked about this a couple of weeks ago that we originally were supposed to see Madcap Moss and Baron Corbin against Kofi and Xavier. And then, you know, there was a little bit of a monkey wrench. Jeff Hardy walked out. And they had to rearrange things. And then, remember, Drew was supposed to team up with Jeff, and they were going to go up against Moss and Corbin first. And then Drew, you know, having some nagging injury, so he had to take time off. So now basically Kofi is sort of filling in for Drew, and there's nobody there to give the rub to these guys. Kofi has to be the one to do it. Now, I know it'll some of you are going to say, and I agree with you, this is what happens when you let too many people go on the roster. I mean, unless you're going to use Cesaro. Ricochet, with all due respect, Ricochet, they have just... The problem with Ricochet is that it feels like he's just thrown in wherever needed. We're just thrown... Like he, I've always said he's a five-tool player. He's a utility player, which is a good thing. When you go look at baseball, having a utility player is very, very important. But with Ricochet, it just feels he's just inserted wherever needed. We thought it was going to be with Cesaro. He ends up going with this guy. He has a little with Drew. Now he has his singles. Then he does this. So even if Ricochet were to lose to Madcap Moss, nobody would care about it. So Kofi is the one to do the favors for Madcap Moss. That win does not help Madcap Moss at all. If anything, it just exposes, you know, with all due respect of it, I think you let too many people go. You know, it's, and we'll see how they fill it in. And my God, could you imagine if Pete Dunne, Tommaso Ciampa, or both end up going to the SmackDown roster and this starts happening to them? I mean, I could see Pete Dunne and Cesaro having a program almost immediately, or with Sheamus almost immediately. But if you start having these guys, you know, just by default, that they start losing to these guys, you, oh my God. I don't know how you elevate Moss other than stopping this horrible stuff. It's not funny. I don't know who in the back thinks these jokes are funny. They're not funny. What did he say to Kofi? Instead of calling you New Day, we'll call you Poo Day? We're like five? Does anybody know anybody at home? Now, I'm not going to do it here because I don't want to get shit on my computer. Just you ever see that GIF file of Bailey? She drinks the coffee and she spits it everywhere. Do you know anybody out there that watched that segment yesterday, and when they said Poo Day, you think they went... My God, I don't even think I'd find it entertaining if I was stoned, wired, drunk out of my ass, seeing aliens. It was awful. It was awful. Sami Zayn yesterday, funny little segment. I mean, Sami Zayn is great, man. I hope he re-signs with WWE. Because Sami Zayn on WWE television is a good thing. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins. I mean, you could go on and on and on. They do have quite a few names that do entertain the shit out of us. Sami Zayn trying to spoof a little bit of Johnny Knoxville. He's got a skate ramp. There's a whole bunch of paddings. And he's going to go in a shopping cart and flip over the ring. Yeah, okay. Just picture that. I mean, it was nonsense, but you got Rick Boogs shows up, distracts Sami Zayn, Nakamura hits him with the Kinshasa. I think this all leads to Sami Zayn getting this title, which I don't think anybody would complain about. Nakamura has an arm injury. What, from holding the belt? You strained your arm from holding the belt? Every show, he's holding the belt. He's holding the belt. They put the belt down. I can't move arm. Arm stuck. Aaliyah, and we all saw this coming yesterday. Natty talking about world records, that Natty's going to take on Aaliyah. Natty is going to break the world record of 3.8 seconds for the fastest victory for any woman in WWE history. And they keep pushing it. So you know, more than likely, somebody's going to get a record. So what ends up happening, Natty starts beating the crap out of Aaliyah. No bell is rung. And the ref is asking Aaliyah, can you go? Can you go? She doesn't answer right away. Ref asks her again, can you go? Can you go? And she says, all right, ladder match to start. So what happens the minute the bell rings? Aaliyah rolls up Natty. 3.17 seconds. All right, this is the official. Aaliyah now is going to, do they put this? I mean, look, I know Guinness Book of World Records does have some records in there. Are they going to put every fucking little fart now? Is Aaliyah now going to be in a Guinness World Record for fastest victory in WWE history? I don't know. But, you know, people were joking with her last night. I think Aaliyah, I wrote it last night on her social media, I think they got to come out with a shirt. Aaliyah 317 says, I just pin your ass. And then they could put, you know, if they want to add more to it in record time. But Aaliyah 317 says, I just pin your ass. They got to do that shirt for her. I think a lot of people would buy that. So Aaliyah beats Natty yesterday, and Aaliyah now holds that record. So Charlotte Flair, as we said earlier, had the confrontation with Lita. I actually thought it was funny when she said, oh, I didn't know it was Flashback Friday. Because I know a lot of us on social media, I don't do it every week, but they do Flashback Friday. And Lita, you know, thinks that she's got one last run, and talking about Charlotte having a big head. And Lita ultimately hits Charlotte with the Twist of Fate, crowd pop for it. I'm not trying to be a little too technical about this, but the only problem I have with the segment is that, you know, when Lita does the Twist of Fate, she yells to the crowd. As that spot happens, just look at Charlotte. Charlotte is literally just standing like, give it to me. While Lita's going, she's like, give it to me. She's just standing there. I don't know. But I am happy Lita is back. I'm curious if Trish is going to be in this Rumble. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe they just feel for Royal Rumble, they want the focus to be on Lita, and that if Trish appears in a Rumble, that it's going to take the focus off of Lita. I like that Lita is back. Let's see where it goes. This might just be hype. You know, you put somebody in the Royal Rumble, you know, look, there are some people out there. No, I'm not nitpicking. There are some people out there that were talking about it today. They think, you know what? I think Lita could actually win the Rumble. I think Lita and Charlotte could possibly happen at WrestleMania. You get people thinking that WWE did their job. For all we know, once the Royal Rumble is over, if Lita's eliminated and it's a little bit uneventful, for all we know, that's it with her on TV. So we don't know yet if Lita is going to be there to stay a little bit. I hope that she does. She looks great. I know Crazy Cruiserweight, when he sees this, oh, look at her age and this and that. You know, you got to give a little bit to everybody out there. Not everybody likes every little thing, but there's a lot of fans of Lita that are ecstatic that she's back. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I don't think Tessa Blanchard will be in a Royal Rumble. Why? Why? She would have so many people to leapfrog, you know, to be, if WWE signs her to a deal to put her on the food chain, she'd have so many. Plus, she's involved with Women of Wrestling. She's heavily involved with that. So, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that would be a little bit uneventful, in my opinion. Cesaro beating Ricochet. Sheamus beating Ricochet in about 10 minutes. Wasn't a bad match. It was funny when Ricochet said he was going to repeat and do the Sheamus what he did to Ridge Holland. You know, it was an accident what happened to Ridge Holland. But, you know, to have Ricochet cut a promo like that just to lose, I don't know. But you know what? I did see a lot of people given their due to Sheamus yesterday, you're like, wow, you know, man, this guy just consistent. Where have they been? I mean, going back to 2020, after he came out of that storyline with Jeff Hardy, Sheamus has been banging it out. His feud with Drew McIntyre was awesome. He's had some awesome feuds. Sheamus is one of those guys that is really, I don't want to say is an unsung hero. He is just somebody who is solid there. Reminds me a lot of Cesaro. Much love to Sheamus. Absolutely, man. Never left that bandwagon. So throughout the night, we were seeing little video packages of the Shield. It's amazing when you realize that it's been 10 years, just about, since the Shield is formed. We've talked about it not too long ago, you know, how many years it's been. It's close to 10 years. So all throughout the night yesterday, they're showing some vignettes, some video packages of the Shield from yesteryear and them forming and then Seth turning and everything that we got that leads up to now. And, you know, the packages were fabulous. I mean, you saw they definitely did what they could to minimize Dean Ambrose's exposure in these packages. I mean, you go and you watch them back carefully, you could see that Dean Ambrose was edited out as much as possible. They know damn well that you have Rollins versus Reigns. With that history in the Shield, you know, you're not going to look away from that history and make it come across that they were a duo. So they were going to show Dean Ambrose. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. We know that Moxley was in the Shield. They're not too many fans that's like, oh, you know Moxley was in the Shield. Nothing wrong with it. But we had Reigns and Seth Rollins have their confrontation yesterday. All Seth Rollins needed was a hat and a white glove on his left hand, and he would have been Michael Jackson yesterday. If anybody remembers the Motown special, I think from 1984, or was it 83? When Michael Jackson did Billie Jean on stage, Seth Rollins, he looks just like dressed as old Michael. But they have their little confrontation yesterday, and it was awesome. They've just touched the surface. What sucks about it is we only have 2 weeks to the Royal Rumble. So we're only getting two or three more of these between the two. I mean, I would think Roman Reigns is going to show up on a Raw. It may not be this Monday, but it might be next Monday. But Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins have a face-to-face. Reigns asks the building, Omaha, acknowledge me. And then Rollins says that it was nice to acknowledge that that was quite a moment. Seth Rollins puts his fist out for good old times, old time's sake. Roman says that's beneath him now. Seth Rollins talking about how he was the last person that Roman Reigns thought that he would see. And Roman basically talking about how he's on God mode now. And you could feel the charisma between the two of them. I mean, I'm not saying that Edge versus Miz when they were having those back and forth exchanges. I mean, they just work well together, but this is different. I mean, we had in the past Roman Reigns the babyface, Seth Rollins the heel, with the authority, with what, J&J security. I mean, so this is a little bit different. But Seth Rollins says that their track record and title matches have been pretty one-sided, and he has won them all. Roman Reigns calls himself the greatest Universal Champion of all time. He says that their their face-to-face is a waste of time. Rollins isn't on his level, never will be. And if Roman Reigns truly wanted to choose a star from Raw, it wouldn't have been him. If he wanted a main event WrestleMania with a megastar, he would have chose his wife instead of Seth Rollins. So, Mish, there's the reference with the husband and the wife. So, just a real fun interaction. The Usos ultimately try to attack Seth Rollins. They've been doing this. They did this after the cameras went off the air last week. You know, this is going to get Seth Rollins a little bit of a babyface push. I don't know how long that lasts, though, because where do you go with this afterwards? I still want Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens to be a tag team. I want Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens to ultimately become Raw Tag Team Champions. You're not going to have Seth Rollins be a little bit of a tweener or a babyface with Kevin Owens as his tag team partner. But this was a great segment yesterday. It was a good way to close out SmackDown. Again, I don't care what anybody says about, oh, what happened to roster splits or anything like that. You're getting good shit. We all know that everybody works under WWE. We all know NXT works under WWE. We all know that they all get paid from the same company. So, all right, you know, the roster split is getting mixed up a little bit. If we're getting good shit out of it, I don't care. I don't care. Just enjoy it. That's how I look at it. So, on Monday's Raw, we got a little bit of a change, for anybody that is interested. Now, obviously, with storyline advancement, these matches had to change. Originally, on Raw, we were going to get Big E and RK-Bro against Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos. I don't know if that would have been a post-Raw main event after the cameras stopped airing, but they changed that, and obviously with AJ Styles and Omos no longer a tag team, they had to change it. So now they have Big E teaming up with the Street Profits against Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens. I tend to think, I don't want to guarantee, but I tend to think that that might air after Raw is done tomorrow night. Unless something happens between Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, which I don't want to see. Remember, they're also toying with the idea of Bobby Lashley being a babyface. I don't want to see that, but it seems like they're going in that direction. So you look at this, it's an interesting trio to have. I think that seems more like a post-Raw main event. But if it is, what are you going to do about matches on Raw? I mean, if these six guys are going to all wrestle afterwards, either unless somebody's going to do double duty. Shout out to everybody live. Again, my apologies for those who tuned in late tonight. It's my fault. I didn't realize that I had the wrong start time in the system. I didn't realize it said 10. It was supposed to be 8:05. It's my mistake. Also, they had Becky Lynch versus Bianca for the Raw Women's title. That definitely would have been a post-Raw main event. But now they've changed it, and now they have Becky against Bianca and Liv Morgan in a triple threat. So something tells me we may see that change again. Just because it's being advertised doesn't mean that it's actually going to go down the way. The women's match I could see happening as like that, but on the men's side, we may see a little bit of a variation, and it'll air on Raw. So, yesterday we had Rampage as well. I know most of you out there that had seen the spoilers from early in the week, so I'll just get into the match results. You had Adam Cole beating Trent. They're still teasing a feud with Britt Baker and Chris Statlander. Couldn't get a match. We saw a video package of Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez. The fact that they are going to have that match, it's fine with me. We probably won't see that match for 2-3 weeks. I'd be fine if that main event at Rampage. I think most of you out there would prefer to see it on Dynamite. I would rather see it on Dynamite. Sean Spears over Andrew Everett, excuse me, in about a minute. And after the match is over, Spears cutting an awesome promo. I mean, Spears could talk. You know, I mean, you could say this, compared to his work in WWE as the perfect 10, they always said it like a question. You know, if you're saying it as a statement, the perfect 10, Sean Spears, it was always sounded like a question. The perfect 10? Little dig on Wardlow yesterday. You're going to fight a green wrestler with 1 year's experience. You're going to fight me. The fans read between the lines. That's a shot at Wardlow. I'm telling you, I think ultimately Sean Spears is going to attack Wardlow from behind with a chair, and that's how the split is going to officially take place. They're going to tease Wardlow maybe doing something to MJF in the ring, and Sean Spears is going to wail Wardlow in the back with a chair, and that's how the split is going to happen. Then we'll probably see Wardlow against Sean Spears first, and then we'll see where this goes with MJF. Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, and the Bunny over Chris Statlander, Layla Hirsch, and Red Velvet. You know, this is a little bit of a mess because they're teasing Chris Statlander and Britt Baker, but they're also teasing Chris Statlander and Layla Hirsch. Isn't it interesting that nobody, you know, were joking around like, can they coexist? Because that's what this match was about. Can Chris Statlander and Layla Hirsch coexist? And the answer is no. They end up arguing towards the end of the match, and the Bunny ultimately pushes Layla Hirsch into Chris Statlander. Fruit roll-up, a lot of fruit roll-ups in AEW recently. I don't know if you realized it. A lot of fruit roll-ups. They've caught in the fruit roll-up bug. By the way, what I did forget about SmackDown earlier, my apologies, I just realized it now because of the confrontation with Jay Lethal and Ricky Starks. Sonya Deville and Naomi. And Naomi, up till now, she doesn't know why she don't like her. And basically, what they're trying to feed us now is, like, Naomi, you think you're all that, and all you are is, you know, you're nothing. It kind of cacas. Please, if they're thinking about having Naomi versus Sonya Deville at WrestleMania, I'm not interested in that. I think that would be, then again, you're doing two nights of WWE, maybe. Yeah, that explanation was just so horrible. You know what it felt like? You know what it felt like with that with yesterday with SmackDown? It felt like somebody in a creative meeting said they were talking about what they were going to do with Naomi and Sonya. And somebody in the creative meeting must have turned around and said, hey, why are they against each other in the first place? I think they realized we never explained it. I would have been more happy with Sonya Deville just saying, I don't like you. I would have been fine with that. So Jay Lethal comes out and he did what he did on Dynamite because he wants the FTW title. Oh, that's nice. Ricky Starks versus Jay Lethal will be excellent. It's pretty obvious their use of Jay Lethal up to now has been a colossal disappointment. You know, we've been talking about the misuse of Jay Lethal for well over a month. You might remember the night Jay Lethal debuted, I said to y'all, let's give it 2 months and let's see what they did with Jay Lethal. You could see this a mile away. It's not rocket science. The way they have so many people on the roster. Yeah, you know, I was laughing because Jim Cornette, I was listening to a little bit of his podcast this morning, and they were talking about a match with Thunder Rosa. And Brian Last said something like, Thunder Rosa's 42-6. Something like that. And he's like, how? She's had like two matches on Dynamite. And you see what's the deal is with Dark and Elevation. For a lot of them, it's just padding numbers. It's just padding numbers. You look at Andrade, and we've been talking about this 3 months into his AEW career. We showed you the photo on last Wednesday. He was in AEW from June until obviously December, 6 months. He had two wins on Dynamite. Now, in defense, he's not going to wrestle more than one match on TV. So, you know, there's only four possible wins a month. But out of 24 match possibilities, he had two wins. That just goes to show you. So what happens? You wrestle on Dark, and 80% of your wins are wrestling against people that nobody knows. Oh, Jay Lethal took on Mike Bloomer, Bloom, 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 and Bloom. Oh, yeah, yeah. So they're going to take on each other. Now, Taz saying, I don't give a shit about Ring of Honor. You know, in my opinion, and don't get me wrong, this is not the crap on Ring of Honor, but too little, too late. Too little, too late. Suddenly now everybody wants to mention the words Ring of Honor. Should have been doing all that for a while. Ring of Honor is Ring of Honor right now in name only. Doesn't mean it can't be entertaining. What they're doing on Impact is a lot of fun. You know, but suddenly, like, because Taz name drops Ring of Honor to Jay Lethal, I don't give a shit about Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor is living on through other promotions. That's what it is. It's a name only. WrestleMania weekend, they're doing a show because they need some type of revenue to cover ongoing expenses. Just because they're not running a show doesn't mean that, oh, we have no more expenses. Oh, Ring of Honor, every week has expenses. And there's only so many shows and only so many subscriptions you could get online. So they got to get an influx of money somewhere. You know, they'll probably do a little bit of what they used to do in NWA TNA, that a wrestler wrestles on a house show for a particular indie promotion. And if they put a Ring of Honor championship on the line, maybe that promotion pays an extra 100 or 200 bucks, and that money goes to Ring of Honor. Because like I said, the wrestlers who are current champions of Ring of Honor, that's an advertising selling point. You want to book a show, and you could bring someone on, it looks better when they are Ring of Honor champion than just another wrestler on the card. So Ring of Honor may be doing something similar to what was it, Bill Behrens? They used to do that. Bill Behrens would take a little fee. You know, we covered that before. So that may be the case, but you know, people dropping Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor, you know, honestly, too little, too late. Too little, too late. Jurassic Express retaining the AEW tag titles, beating John Silver and Alex Reynolds. It was a fun match. But once again, and we talked about this a few times before, something really being exposed with Luchasaurus. And it's not a tremendous problem, but it is a problem. Luchasaurus is so big and so intimidating that unless it is a big-time tag team facing them, they don't want Luchasaurus selling any extended period of time for anybody, unless maybe there's a spot where he kind of hurts himself. He goes to a table, something like that. And they got caught again with it yesterday. Luchasaurus gets knocked down. And instead of staying down a little bit so the opposite team can work on Jungle Boy a little bit to give that suspension of disbelief that the other team has a possibility of winning the match, even though, you know, we know that's not the case, Luchasaurus gets up almost immediately, and he gets up while the other team is trying to do their offense on Jungle Boy. So what happens last night again? He gets up, and go back and watch it if you think I'm lying. He did it the week before with the Lucha Brothers, because we talked about it on that recap. He gets up. You see Alex Reynolds and John Silva doing a little double teamwork on Jungle Boy, and he's just standing there watching it. He's just standing there watching it. He looked ridiculously stupid when, you know, Ray Phoenix and Penta was setting up a high spot against Jungle Boy, and he's standing there watching it. And it happened again yesterday. You know, I think the wrestlers that are on the opposite side of Luchasaurus, I think they have to start improvising, that if this Matarazz is going to get up too quickly, do your power move on the opposite side of the ring. Figure out a way just to throw the attention on the opposite side of the ring. This way, you know, instead of him just standing there and watching it like a fan, you know, he could like act like he's trying to get into the ring and he's pulling up the rope, whatever it is. But they're doing it right in front of the guy. And he's standing there watching. Luchasaurus, why don't you do a selfie? Take some pictures while you're at it. Little things like that annoy the shit out of me. Because he's literally just standing there watching them beat up his partner. So Dynamite, this Wednesday, pretty good card. We got CM Punk versus Shawn Spears. Sting and Darby Allin versus the Acclaimed. That's the match I want to see. I want to see the other ones too. But that's the match I want to see. If you remember Wednesday, it's because the Acclaimed are number one contenders. If AEW now is, I don't want to say obsessed, but if their new tickle is Brody King and Malakai Black, then you could see a mile away what could end up happening. Remember last week when everybody online was like, why are they doing a TNT interim championship? Oh, wouldn't that be awesome if Dustin wins and Dustin takes on his brother again? And again, we saw that a mile away. They did that because they got this thought in his head. Oh, title for title. The interim title is going to last for 2 weeks. Cody's going to be back Wednesday. They're going to milk it. I issued a challenge for Sammy. Title versus title. The interim championship for 1 or 2 weeks was a ridiculously stupid idea. But pay attention to this. Remember, they did not want Sammy to lose to Dustin. That's why they didn't just simply have Dustin defending the title on behalf of Cody. Because then that means Sammy would have had to lose. They did not want Sammy losing to Dustin. By the way, best wishes go out to Dustin. He may have COVID. We don't know 100% because he just posted a tweet that just said COVID sucks. I don't know. So we don't know if he has COVID. I think he does. And I'll tell you why. This is not expert journalism. This is just common sense. Other wrestlers in AEW responded to his tweet saying that they were prayers for him, thinking of him. People that he works with. So you're not going to say that if he was just making a general statement. You know what? COVID sucks. You know, so I think common sense, I think he has COVID. I hope he's okay. Don West, I think, is still in the hospital. Charlie, I think he's still in the hospital. Isn't it sad, man? Just think of all of those websites and shows that have yet to say anything about Don West. because they couldn't cut and paste it from someone else. Instead of just caring as, you know, a fan or whatever, because other places didn't cut and paste it, they don't mention it. That's awful. So, getting back to the Acclaimed, if now AEW's fetish, Tony Khan's fetish is Brody King and Malakai Black, if the Acclaimed lose to Darby and Sting, they probably drop out of the number one contender spot. That could very well happen. Personally, I think you need the Acclaimed versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus at least once. So, you know what? Maybe they hit Sting with the boombox and they get the tainted win. I'm hoping Acclaimed win this. I'm a big fan of Darby and Sting as a team. And look, maybe Andrade, because suddenly Andrade, you know, remember, you know, didn't he want to buy Darby? I want to buy you the Darby, this little kid. Remember last week? So maybe Andrade causes them to lose. I just hope the Acclaimed don't lose this, because after them finally getting to become number one contenders, and they pull the wool from underneath them, the rug from underneath them, like they did to Brian Cage and others, that's going to suck. That's why I hate this top five shit. I hate it. I don't acknowledge it. The only reason why I have to bring it up is because AEW does base some matches on that from that list. But you see how quick they change their mind. Boom, boom, boom. Person's out of the number one contender spot. Bash, you know, the more that I think of them doing that music video, I think they get a win. I think them getting a tag team title shot definitely is in order. Also on Wednesday, we have the House of Black versus the Varsity Blondes. And I want to see if Julie Hart joins up. I think Julie Hart coming out with Brody King and Malakai Black would be very interesting. Love to see what her look would be. So I want to see Julie Hart turn on the Varsity Blondes. That's something I've talked about for about a month now. Cody returns. We are getting Lee Johnson and Brock Anderson versus FTR. I call that the Make-A-Wish match. Not for nothing, nothing against those two, but, you know, they don't belong in Dynamite. And I'm not talking about FTR. Serena Deeb versus Sky Blue. Squash match coming. Sting and Darby Allin versus The Acclaimed. CM Punk versus Shawn Spears. Adam Cole and Britt Baker versus Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. Does Layla get involved and cause Chris Statlander to match? Keep that thought in your head. So, I know. Goody, goody, goody. Brock Anderson.
Brock Anderson.
For everyone who was asked, I am undecided if I'm going to get into these Pro Wrestling Illustrated awards. I really don't know if I'm going to, for the simple reason that we said it way before these awards came out, that AEW was going to be the heavy winner, not because AEW deserved it or not. It's because WWE is not going to have all these wrestlers pose and take pictures and this and that. So Pro Wrestling Illustrated is looking to get as much exposure as they can. They know that if WWE would have gotten a lot of more awards, it would not have been acknowledged on television. But when it comes to AEW, they treat it like they won the Oscar. And you look at some of the winners, and some of it is ridiculously asinine. And for people that keep asking me, no, the fans do not pick all the winners with the exception of one, the Achievement Award. But it's just to get as much exposure as possible. You know, I brought up, forget what episode it was. It was a show that I did like 10 years ago. And I said that, you know, some of these organizations out there, they give WWE an award just so they could get a little bit of exposure out of it. I mean, that's not anything new. Why do you think all these bullshit websites They have these Hall of Fames and stuff. Like, I'm not talking about Meltzer. I'm not talking about Gerwig. They've been around long. I'm talking about others. You know, they create these Hall of Fames. Oh, we're proud to announce that blah, blah, blah is in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, you're not going to get that person to give you a hand job. You know, it's all cute and everything, but, you know, that's they're just doing it to try to get exposure out of it. So with that said, I think we are just about done. We got into pretty much everything. I will leave you with this. I've read a lot more of the MLW lawsuit against WWE. I don't have the details in front of me. Maybe Wednesday I'll pull some excerpts out of it, but I'll tell you this. I don't believe MLW has a chance. I think MLW is hoping they will be able to settle out of court. Because, and I invite any of you out there, if you want to be entertained, because I really believe you will be entertained, it's all over the net. If you want to read the lawsuit and the court documents that MLW has filed, this pretty much is how it comes across. You know, we know about the Tubi situation and, you know, them losing an opportunity with Vice TV and all that. Okay. That accusation is this much of the lawsuit. If you read the papers, you know what it basically is? Oh, WWE has gone tremendously downhill since 2001. And since WCW has been out of business, they have a monopoly and this and that. And they don't do this. And, you know, their ratings are down this much and their attendance is down this much. And they don't do this and blah, 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 blah. And basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to convince the court that WWE has lost so much that the only way they could keep recovering is by blocking others. Know where MLW is going to be fucked? And I don't want to get too explicit here, but you know how bad they're going to get fucked in the coulee? You know how bad this is going to be? This reminds me of Joey Ryan. Please hear me out when I say that. When Joey Ryan tried to sue all of those women and a couple of wrestlers, and then he claimed that he lost all of this revenue, money, lost social media followers and everything like that. Joey Ryan did not think about one very important thing. Joey Ryan forgot he'd have to prove that he lost all that money. There's no way he could have known that promoters for that year and a half were going to book him. And he couldn't put that out there because if promoters were going to be forced to testify, he probably would have been told because the promoters are not going to screw up their promotions. They're probably going to all go in court and say, we weren't going to book him. You know, once we didn't book him, you can't predict the future. So MLW, just to compare it to Joey Ryan, MLW is going to have to prove where they lost money. Where did they lose money? Did they lose attendances over it? Did they lose advertising revenue over it? Did they lose Fight TV streams over it? Did they lose pay-per-view streams? How do you prove that because you're not on Vice TV or Tubi or anywhere else that you lost all this money over it? How do you prove that? And I don't think MLW can. Look, I'm not an expert with lawsuits, but I've been in the business field for over 20 years. And, you know, this is why I always say, you look at the WWE corporate side of things, and you always hear me year after year after year say, I don't agree with a lot of WWE's business practices. I don't agree with a lot of these releases. But what I try to do is I try to understand why things are being done the way they are. I try to understand why it's being done for the bottom line, for the stockholders, for, you know, the quarterly filings, for taxes, for whatever reasons. While everybody else is just based on an emotional tweet. I try to understand why everything is being done to please invest. Why is the stock going up? Why is this happening? Why is this? Everybody out there thought, oh, budget cuts. But they're making record profits. What could it be budget cuts? They're getting record profits. Those are people that never been in business that don't understand. Budget cuts means we used to have $100 million for wrestler payroll. We have changed that budget that now we only want to have $50 million for that budget. Doesn't have anything to do with having profits or losses. They put out a budget. Just like a lot of you out there, a lot of your families do. Okay, every month we could put $1,000 to groceries. Every month, $200 to cable. $100 for cell phone. $100 for this. For some of you, $100 for OnlyFans. You have a budget. You have money that comes in, and you try to figure out how you could spread that out. Now, if you feel, all right, it's wintertime, not going to go out, not going to go away as much as I used to, so you know what? I'm going to cut the budget from here and put it over here. That's what budget cuts is. So when you look at this lawsuit with MLW, have you seen anybody out there say, how's MLW going to prove that they lost opportunities, lost money? How are you going to prove that? That's why this lawsuit, MLW is hoping that they could settle out of court. I'm telling you, I'm not always right, but I do enough research and I spend the time to try to understand it. This is a perfect case of trying to understand that side of it. If MLW has to start proving that, they're screwed. And believe me, Jerry McDivitt, you know, if anybody goes back with me 20 years, I used to call him Jeremy McDipshit. I didn't like Jerry McDivitt for a lot of years until I started understanding why he remains a WWE attorney. McDivitt has been there for decades and decades and decades. The guy knows his shit. Why do you think WWE keeps winning these lawsuits? Why do you think lawsuits keep being thrown out? It's not because WWE is just throwing an infinite amount of money into the defending these things. You think WWE wants to keep defending this stuff in court? It's because these lawyers know how to address this. When the concussion lawsuit came around, a lot of wrestlers just basically said, well, I had a concussion. Give me money. And the lawyer's like, look, sign, be part of this class action lawsuit. We win. We divide it 40 ways and you get a piece of it. Oh, I'm in. They don't know anything else. They don't realize that the lawyer was a kook. It was a dummy. He didn't know what the hell he was doing. He was just rolling the dice and hoping that WWE would settle because it was such a PR nightmare. Oh, 95 wrestlers all claiming concussions. And WWE's like, oh, man, fuck that shit. We're going to fight this shit in court. And the shit got thrown out. So you think they get it? Trust me, in a weird way, I think WWE would rather fight this in court and embarrass MLW and make them look insanely stupid, then settle out of court. Because if they settle out of court, what do you give MLW? You think you give them $500,000? You crazy? They can't even get 400 fans at a show. Even if you charged every single fan $30 a pop, all right, $30 a pop, what is that, $9,000? Then you add in what, 200 streams out of it? The day that you hear that there's been a request for MLW to provide their losses, because you don't see that anywhere in a lawsuit. 90% of the lawsuit is WWE has gone downhill. WWE is this. It's not what it used to be. It's this, this, and that. And as a result, they're stopping everybody else. It's like, okay, WWE is, you know, sucks, blah, 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 blah. MLW, I think, doesn't have a chance. So, all right, everybody. I'm out of here. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 8:05, not 10 o'clock, tomorrow night, the sit-down with yours truly. We will have a live chat the entire night, maybe some live calls as well, if some of you want to call in. You know, whatever is on your mind, wrestling, non-wrestling. Last week, we had a banger of a show. Some awesome calls to the show, awesome chat. You know, tomorrow night, what's great about the Sunday show is I literally I know there's writing on this side, but I literally go in here with a blank piece of paper. And as you all bring up topics, I write them down. And then that becomes the synopsis. So I go into tomorrow with a clean slate. No topics planned unless something major breaks between today and tomorrow. And whatever you want to talk about, that's what we're going to do. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your Saturday night. And on the way out, if you enjoyed today's show, smash that like button. It would be most appreciated. Tell your friends about the channel. See, maybe they want to check it out. And before I go, I think there was one super chat that I had to get into. Bob the Builder. Do I think Tony Khan values wrestlers more than characters? He thinks that hindering AEW and growing, more characters are needed. Well, I've said many times that it has to be more episodic television. It has to be more character driven. You know, there's no promotion in the history of wrestling that has been tremendously successful that didn't have great, strong storylines. You know, when two people fight each other, you know, having 2-3 weeks of, I'm going to beat you. No, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. You think you're going to kick my ass? I'm going to kick your ass. That's not a very strong storyline. That would be pretty much almost everybody that has an upcoming match. You look at some of the greatest feuds in history, there is a strong story behind it. You want the wrestlers, the fans to be emotionally involved. You want to build, lead to something. And I think they need to do that. Obviously, character-driven is crucial, but you have to have some momentum as well. You can't just have somebody come out there and then they disappear for 3-4 weeks. You know, did we ever find out? Remember when Hangman Page, you know, got the nod from the Young Bucks that, you know, okay, you could pin Kenny Omega. Where'd they ever go? I mean, I know Kenny Omega's injured, but now you got to wait 2-3 months to have maybe Kenny Omega like it's dead. Do you remember when they walked for like 8 miles towards the end of a pay-per-view, walk into a car or something? You're either with us. Are you going to be with us? I mean, you can't have a feud and then it disappears. What happened to Leo Rush? What happened to Leo Rush? I mean, you had Dante Martin. He turned on Team Taz. Now all of a sudden Jay Lethal's in the mix of this. What happened to Leo Rush? There are so many storylines that get postponed for 2-3-4 weeks. And that is a problem too. So they got a lot of problems. There's so many examples that I could bring up. You know, the saving grace about AEW is that they put on fun shows. But you remember early on when I said that AEW reminds me of a really strong indie event? Like you go to an indie event in your town and it's this great show. You go home happy and then you go back the following month and maybe there wasn't continued storylines, but you get banger matches again and you go home happy. That's what AEW makes me feel more than anything else. And that's not all bad, but you have to, again, look at Andrade. Last week, oh, I want to buy Darby. This week, Matt, you like money. Let's talk. Like, it's all over the place. What happened to, oh, I got the Lucha Brothers. They need a ride from the airport. I mean, you look at how all these things are just everywhere. So it's a little bit of a mess. It's a little bit of a mess. All right, everybody. Look, last week, Ruby gets attacked by Britt and everybody else. The fuck was Ruby yesterday? What the fuck is? Let's see if Ruby shows up Wednesday and gets involved with it. What did she do? She in the restaurant having a luger, a lager, whatever it is. you know, just listening to music and, oh, I forgot, you know, I got to be, you know, these storylines have to continue week after week after week after week, and a lot of them don't. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Have a nice night. I see you Sunday, 8:05 p.m. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.